Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Tony, and you're listening to Comic Conversations, episode 247, where we talk all things comics for the week of October 2nd, 2019. And as always, I'm joined by co-host, Alex. Alex, how are you doing today?
I'm tired.
Yeah, I know, I can tell. Everybody can
Got
tell.
Got home, made some French fry potatoes.
So, we didn't do a show last week, for the same reason why you're probably tired.
They're changing a lot of stuff at work, and in preparation for what's a raise and also my overtime opportunities possibly shrinking, I'm working as much as I possibly can. And I worked a full shift last week, so I worked an extra 12 hours on Thursday, and then I worked Friday night. And then I had to work Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Jeez, slave
drivers.
Tomorrow
is my only day off.
Slave drivers over there.
It's all my fault. And I'm going to try to do it. And now they did. I do think I made a mistake. They did ask, do you want to work during the day next week? Because they're letting us work during the day again. And I said no. But I'm thinking I'm not going to have a lot of shifts to pick up. Mm-hmm. Although they will need me to cover for at least one day because one of my weekend coworkers took the spot on day shift that I thought I was being forced to take and later found out. I honestly feel that my job things are more interesting than a lot of the books we read this week. But since nobody knows about it, it wouldn't make sense.
Well, you just told everybody a lot of the stuff.
Yeah, I did. I went through it kind of quick. I've been all work for like fucking 8-9 days, so.
Well, you know what they say about all work and no play?
Makes my son dull?
No, makes you a dull boy.
Makes Jack a dull boy?
Makes Alex a dull boy.
I guess.
Why would it make Jack a dull boy?
That's the line from the movie.
Oh. Oh, okay. I forgot. I knew.
Yeah, it's not one of my favorite Jack Nicholson roles, actually. I know he's really, I much prefer him in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I thought he was amazing in that. That's an amazing movie.
I'm trying to think of a shitty movie that he was in so I could be like, oh, that's my favorite. And I can see how long.
Your favorite Jack Nicholson movie? Like The Bucket List or?
What was that one? Anger Management with,
I never saw that one.
It's not great.
I never saw that one. It was during that period when, like, famous actors would be in, like, kind of not great comedies. Robert De Niro was in that one with Ben Stiller.
Oh, God. I didn't tell you. So I recently saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and what's his name? Al Pacino's in it. Now you think, okay, no big deal. What role does Quentin Tarantino have for Al Pacino?
I've never seen it. I don't know.
Old Jewish Hollywood guy.
Does he play Al Pacino, though?
No.
That's actually a shock, because Al Pacino, for years, played nothing but Al Pacino. Specifically, Al Pacino played Al Pacino from Scent of a Woman.
Yeah.
Like, he was fucking Michael Corleone, but somehow he became Al Pacino in Scent of a Woman. Where it's like, I'm going to talk and then I'm going to yell really loud.
Because when I think Al Pacino, I think old Jewish man.
I just find Al Pacino interesting because he played a Cuban, famously, and then he famously played an Italian.
I'm not saying the guy doesn't have range, but I think an old Jewish Hollywood guy is a bridge too far for him.
If they put like a, well, who else are they going to get to play it? Like Mel Brooks? How many old Jewish?
The thing
is, is Dustin Hoffman a Jew?
Yes, I believe so.
Why isn't he in movies anymore?
Because he probably has a boatload of money and he doesn't want to work anymore.
They all do that.
Admit it, if you had a boatload of money, you would not be working these 17-hour shifts.
Oh no, I haven't been working 17-hour shifts. I've been working many 5-hour shifts, 6-hour shifts. I forget. I only worked 5 hours tonight. It was nice.
That's good.
17-hour shifts are going away.
Which
apparently it's against Iowa law. And also she's like, because when she announced it, she goes, and Alex won't be able to work 17 hours anymore. And I was like, what? She's like, yeah, according to Iowa law, you have to have 12 hours off between shifts. And I go, well, that's bullshit. That kind of limits me in what I can do.
Well, duh.
Well, it's fucking labor laws impacting the amount of money I make. Goddamn status.
Well, but the fact of the matter is they have to pay you overtime because of those labor laws.
Well, here's the thing.
It cuts both ways.
I understand not being able to schedule someone. But if I choose to work that, what's wrong with that?
And what's wrong with forcing your employer to pay overtime?
Well, people wouldn't do it if they didn't pay. I mean, that's an easy solution. If they don't want to pay, then people wouldn't do it. That's it. Technically, they don't have to pay overtime. We're salaried.
But I'm saying you're getting this overtime because they legally anything after X amount of hours, they have to pay you overtime.
Not true. Not for salaried employees.
I know that, but you're getting a bonus for working that extra time.
Yeah, and they don't have to give me that. They could technically give me nothing.
In your perfect world, they would not have to pay you overtime.
No. This is my perfect world. Mm-hmm. Because you're not required to work the overtime, but they're offering an incentive to work it. That's the way it should be.
Yeah, but the incentive what's baked into the incentive is the amount they legally required to pay you for working overtime.
No, it's not. It's the only way they can get people to work extra is by offering them money. It has nothing to do with the laws. Mm. I don't know how many hours are written into the contract, in all honesty. I know that when I switch
positions.
Bang
up job, reading that contract.
Well, I know that when I switch positions, I work less hours, but I never signed a new contract. Mm. So, well, let's get into the show.
All right. With that out of the way, let's go into our first segment this week. News. I'm more emboldened now to pick music you won't like because I know you can't hear it.
Because I can't hear it. It's really awkward.
I don't know what's wrong. And the thing is, I don't know how to fix my setup because the thing is, I can't call anybody because I have Skype on my phone, but I have the same account hooked up to it. And I think
it's
to myself,
all right.
The whole reason why I did this is because I didn't want to have to put stuff in post. So this setup and the way it is now is I still don't have to put the music in post. I can hear the music and the listener can hear the music. And
yeah, so it doesn't matter if I can hear it. I just have to be kind of awkward and sit here and listen.
Well, it's only for like
we don't have a lot of news.
No, in fact, we almost skipped news this week and then I found I remember hearing of a news story and then I went to investigate and it turns out it's actually a big deal.
Well, for us. Tony found there's a new Adam Strange comic and I didn't give a shit. I'm like, I don't fucking care. Adam Strange, I don't care. And then he goes, oh, Mitch Sherard's drawing it. And he's like, so Tom King must be writing it.
It's true.
And I was thinking about it and I'm like, that does kind of make sense. And then it turned out Tom King was writing it. So Mitch Sherard's and Tom King getting to do another comic together on another somewhat obscure DC character. I just automatically predict it'll be amazing.
And people will acknowledge how amazing it is, unlike his Batman run.
Which was very good this week, I thought. But, yeah, they don't like his Batman.
Most people.
That was the only news. I'm hyped about that. I thought AEW's first show sucked.
Mm-hmm.
That's news since we talk about wrestling. But, I mean, it's not comic.
You saw the ratings though, right?
Yeah. Oh, fucking people are still. Now, that was actually my favorite thing because I got access to the board. and they were talking about the ratings. And I guess Dave said the first week doesn't matter. So everybody's talking about the first week like it matters. And I just posted before we started. I'm like, if you watch that show and you think the next week will grow, you might be legally insane.
We'll see.
There is no possible chance it doesn't get a lower viewership after that fucking show.
We'll see.
Yeah, we will. I would bet. I will bet money to any of our listeners that the number goes down.
Why don't you bet me $20?
Okay. On the show right now, if AEW, how many viewers did they do?
1.4.
1.4 million?
Yeah. I want to bake. I want to bake into the bet. If they do 1.4 again, I win.
I'm fine with that. Okay, $20 if they do 1.4 million or if they do more than 1.4 million or 1.4 million.
Yeah, so
I cannot imagine they will do that again because that first show was kind of shitty.
All right. In your opinion?
And even the idiots on the board were saying, yeah, NXT was a better show.
Everyone admits the NXT show was better. That doesn't make the AEW show by default bad.
I'm actually shocked. But there was nothing on AEW that I see people coming back to watch. It's like, oh yeah, let's watch no promos and average wrestling. Like, you could watch that on...
Nowhere?
I don't know what you could...
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, there's nowhere to get no promos and average wrestling. Because WWE has lots of promos. And bad wrestling. AEW has average and bad wrestling.
My thing is, people have no excuse now for complaining about WWE now. They have none.
Yeah, they do. Raw will still be bad. SmackDown will
probably
be bad. They
do not have to watch Raw. Do they not have to watch SmackDown? They have NXT and AEW to watch. Two national alternatives to Vince McMahon's idea of what pro wrestling is.
I don't know if NXT is... it is, because that first match is...
You look at that way that promotion is set up.
In the spot show.
There's things to like and things to not like, but guess what? None of it reeks of Vince. There's no Vince-isms on that show. I guess the only dictate I could say is the three-person announce team with the token minority.
I can't trust anyone that anything, like, I thought at least like AEW will tell the truth and they're like, oh, it's going to be more sports like. Well, they had fucking ref bumps and shit and they had people attacking guys after matches and it's like, okay, that's not sports. So then again, Conor McGregor never assaulted anyone after they won a separate match, but he did attack people.
There was that Mayhem Miller Nick Diaz pull apart in Strikeforce.
And sometimes they will almost fight at weigh-ins. So I guess in that, but in general,
yes, I agree.
You wouldn't have like two guys have a match and then another guy runs.
Nobody gets pile driven through a glass plate table.
Yeah, I almost missed that, by the way. I got so bored. And then somebody told me about it. I'm like, oh, that sounds cool. And then I went back and watched it.
All right, so that was this week's news. Let's move on to our next segment, this week's books. I came home at 11 o'clock today, and I was like, oh, wait, it's my week to pick music. And I was stumped. I could not pick a song. Because usually when it's my week to pick a song, I'll usually flip through and see if anything looks good or if I'm thinking of anything. This week I had no clue. So I started, I perused YouTube. I put cool video game songs. And I don't know why the Wave Race 64 intro spoke to me.
I don't know what you played. But apparently it was Wave Race 64.
Yeah, I just told you what the intro. That's why I did the build up, so you would know what it is.
I don't remember what that music sounded like. I do remember when the N64 launched, and I believe that was like one of the first games. It wasn't one of the first.
Yeah, it was Mario 64, Pilot Wings, and
Star Wars.
Was it?
I believe no. It was close to launch.
I think you're thinking of GameCube.
No, I'm not.
Shadows of the Empire was not a launch.
Shadows of the Empire, yeah.
That was not a launch game.
I remember it.
That doesn't mean it's true.
Well, I remember playing the shit out of Mario 64, and then no games came out until Shadows of the Empire.
It was Mario 64, Wave Race, and Pilot Wings.
Yeah, but I played a lot of Wave Race. I thought it was cool. And I don't like racing games in general.
Oh, I didn't know Shadow of the Empire was on Steam.
It is?
The more you know.
It's not worth playing. It's not a very good
game. No, it's not at all. But at the same time.
Maybe it's better because it's
the PC one has the anime cutscenes. They're not bad.
Is the game bad? I do remember the Hoth thing was very fun. That was, and then in the end you do like a rail shooter in the fake Millennium Falcon or in the actual Millennium Falcon. I can't remember. That was fun.
Okay.
But that was at the beginning and the end of the game.
To further correct you, the N64 came out September 29th, 1996, and Shadow of the Empire came out December 3rd, 1996. So, 2-3 months?
That sounds about right.
That's not a launch title, though.
No, but, you know. It was probably the fourth game release.
Alright, let's go over these books, which include House of X 6, Savage Avengers 6, Ghost Rider number 1, Fantastic Four 15, Daredevil 12, Superman Up in the Sky 4, Lois Lane number 4, Legion of Superheroes Millennium 2, Green Lantern number 12, and to open up this week's books from DC Comics, we have Batman 80, writer Tom King, art by John Romita Jr., which I don't know if it's true.
It was 100% true.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm looking at this book, and I'm like, God, this looks like fucking John Romita Jr. drew this. Why did they get a new artist?
I'm looking at the cover, and I remember reading the book. I don't remember if it had Romita's art or not. But then I read that Wednesday, and we're doing the show here Thursday night, Friday morning.
I read all the books in the last hour and 20 minutes. So, yes, he 100% did the art because – nobody draws like that, man. I'm not a huge fan. I never have been, but it wasn't distracting.
It's serviceable.
So the book opens up and officers Pig and Two-Face are accosting a man for being out past curfew. And it's a guy with a pedophile mustache. So, you know, it's Batman.
I thought it was funny.
And, huh?
I thought it was funly.
No. Funley has not had that mustache. Or, God, that was the greasy hair of a rapist and the mustache of a pedophile. This is the best description ever.
Of early 90s Fit Finley.
Yeah, it was all true what they said. So, they try to hurt him, but he's Batman, so he beats the shit out of him, and they're terrified. And then he takes out fucking Kite Man. And,
how dare he?
Catwoman takes out the Mad Hatter, which was funny. It's fucking Mad Hatter walking around. Then Batman beats the shit out of Hush. And then, Gotham Girl is all fucked up. Like, she was all sad because she knows she let Batman in, but she's been using her powers too much, so she's sick. And Thomas went and he got her, and he's like, no, you gotta stop using your powers. And then Bane had Ventriloquist tell Thomas that, well, Batman's here, so we have to kill the boy, kill Damian, and publicly display his body. Mm-hmm. And Batman knew this was going to happen. And he basically said, well, he's got a choice to make. So I think he thinks Thomas won't kill Damian, which I would bet on also. I don't think he would kill a child, and especially his grandchild.
And especially but considering he's also, in other books. I'm
that well, there's also the chance it's not really Damian.
Yeah, it's still cool with my theory that this all could be Clayface.
Well, Batman is really, really smart, and I'm not 100% he would put his son at risk like that. But because this does reveal that he pretty much sent Damien in. But on the other hand, he might also have some faith that Thomas wouldn't kill Damien. However, how did he know that Damien would be kept by Thomas?
I would feel sorry if it weren't for the fact that I could see Damien being totally down with this.
Being killed?
No, being sent in and potentially getting killed.
Well, he was going to go in himself anyway. He did. The story was he did go in himself, but we know that Batman actually sent him. So
I'm just saying, it's not a giant leap to imagine Damien willing to sign up for this.
No, out of any of them, Damien would go in by himself.
And he would not plan the contingency of him getting captured. He'd be like, no, I'll personally take down everybody and I'll win.
But we'll find out what happens, because this is King's Endgame, so we're going to have lots of fighting now.
Yep. Next book, Green Lantern number 12, writer Grant Morrison, art by Liam Sharp.
He was fighting Hal Jordan from the Antimatter universe, and Sinestro from the Antimatter universe showed up to help him. And he's like, oh, so you're like good, Sinestro. And he pointed out, no, I'm more of a lovable rogue.
He's all, I wouldn't use that term on me.
Yeah. But I mean, you know.
He's all, at worst, I'd use lovable rogue.
Yeah. And, you know, we cut back and forth to the Guardians and stuff. And eventually we get to Hal almost dies fighting Antimatter Hal. And he gets whisked away via Zeta rays. Oh, Adam Strange connection.
There you go.
To the black stars. And they tell him, okay, we had you getting all this stuff, and it's basically so they could power a super mother box that grants wishes. And he's like, okay, you needed these five elements, and my ring was one of them. What was the fifth one? And they're like, oh, it's you, Hal Jordan. And he has to make the wish for Controller Moo, the leader of the Black Stars, to reshape the universe in a orderly way. And Hal did not do that as of the end of the issue. Now, of course, the problem with this being, they've effectively put Hal Jordan in command of a wishing machine. So what stops him from just wishing that, you know, oh, that's all, none of this is happening or something?
That may wind up happening.
That's the only thing I could think, is that that is what would happen. Because what are they going to do, stop him? They can't use the fucking thing without him. It seems like a really bad plan, in other words, by the villains. And it also seems a really obvious thing from, you know, for Grant Morrison. Mm. But it was kind of a fun fight in the issue. The gimmick was Hal, anti Hal, was like a robot Hal who could rebuild himself. So Hal had to basically murder the shit out of him until he couldn't repair himself.
There you go. I'm always glad to do the reviews for Green Lantern with you, so you can explain to me what happened.
See, I didn't think there was I, in all honesty, I found nothing in this issue hard to understand.
Well, they
literally explained everything, and most of it was a fight.
I imposed some of this on myself because I believe we didn't read the last issue of Green Lantern.
Oh.
And then, again, some of the stuff with the Black Stars, I wasn't 100% sure what was going on.
Well, that was from earlier in the series. So
and then during your review, I accidentally clicked the video with sound and everybody heard it.
I didn't hear it, though.
Yeah, I know.
So it was all right.
I just want to bring it up, make sure people aren't losing their minds.
Okay. Well, that was Green Lantern.
Yes. Legion of Superheroes, Millennium number 2 of 2, writer Brian Michael Bendis, art by Nicola Scott.
This was the worst lead into a series I've ever read in my entire life.
At least it had more to do with the Legion, though.
It didn't, though. It did at the very end.
We actually got the Legion.
You saw the Legion?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You saw the entire Legion. I saw Bouncing Boy. The entire Legion was there, and he made it all about fucking Rose Thorn, because, you know, he has to get his fucking his pet character into the fucking series, that cocksucker. No, he did lots of, so basically what he did through this whole thing was he had her work her way through DC's various futures. Mm-hmm. And we got like the origin of Booster Gold.
I was about to say, was that Booster who we saw working at the museum that shot down?
Because he was a janitor. That was in fact Booster Gold.
Okay. Cause he did mention going back to the past and being a superhero. It's like, that sounds like Booster, but sometimes in these comic books, they have to beat you over the head with it.
Yeah. And the other thing is that has jack shit to do with Legion because he's not even from their time period. So 90% of this issue had absolutely nothing to do with the Legion. And then in the last page, she shows up and the Legion is all there taking a team photo. And she's like, I have something to tell you, which is apparently about like the past. I don't. Because she briefly discussed like how keeping a record of the past is very difficult. And since she has lived through all of this, she can enlighten them, which I don't really know why they need to know about the past. They live in their present, but whatever. That's how I read it. It's like, okay, so Bendis can fit his pet character into a series she doesn't belong in. The which thing is what is, he always does.
I don't know if Bendis is writing the series though.
He is. Oh, okay. He is. And I will read the first issue because at least that theoretically will be about the fucking Legion of Superheroes, which this was not at all until the very end. And even then it was still about her. So I will read the first issue, and if it's fucking Rose Thorn issue 1, I will drop this shit and I will be very upset and I will probably make a Twitter account so I could tell Bendis that he's gay.
And then he'll block you.
I don't care.
I think he knows he's bald.
He'll know how I feel that he's bald and no one cares about his fucking pet characters. Because if this is his fucking new Jessica Jones or his new Luke Cage, fuck him.
You knew this was going to happen though. Because it's what he does.
Maybe he just thought it was a clever way to do it. I don't know. Here's the problem. So the Legion of Superheroes currently in DC doesn't exist. Except they do because of something else that happened.
Because all the Doomsday Clock has already happened. But because Johns is writing it, it hasn't come out yet.
Well, whatever. And like, this also confirmed the Justice Society is a thing again. Mm-hmm. So,
well, we already kind of knew that.
But I know, but we haven't had it explained how or why yet. And that's what bothers me. But so he decided he had to do this whole fucking buildup where we have to see the entire future history of the DC universe until we get to the 31st century, which is the Legion. And we get there, but we don't see how the Legion was formed. We don't see any differences. We see jack shit. We just see that they exist in the end. And that's it. That's all we got. Two issues for that. Fuck him. And honestly, with a guy like Bendis, who is so bad at writing teams, thing with the Legion is, it's a fucking gigantic
team. I was about
to
say, it's one thing the Avengers. The Avengers, you got maybe 7-8 members.
And he couldn't handle them, and he's going to write the fucking 50 or so members of the Legion? Impossible, unless he's changed how he writes.
Or maybe what they're going to do is what they do sometimes with these high-profile books. They'll put Bendis at the beginning and then eventually just give it to somebody else to write good stories.
Which would be good. It's just he can't handle team books. He doesn't know how to write a group. And I mean, the one benefit of the Legion is it's really rare you have the entire team. You just generally don't, because they're not going to go off to battle with every single member. They have missions and they pick people who are apparently suited to that mission and then they bring them. So you deal with, you know, generally two or three at a time. And that that I think he might be able to do. But I know how he is, and I just think that, you know, he'll do that. He'll have, you know, 2 to 5 members in a storyline, but fucking Rose Thorne is going to be there for every fucking story.
She's going to be the main focus of every story. Cause,
trying to...
Because you can't have a bunch of main characters. I think he was going to do Rose Thorne will be the focal point character. And the other characters will probably
But she's not in the Legion.
Well, now she is.
First of all, she's older. She's not... I hate it. Like,
you knew this was going to happen when Bendis went to DC, though. You can't act surprised.
I didn't know he was going to be the one who brings back the Legion.
You could cut it off of the past and just not read Legion because you know you're going to get upset.
Saturn Girl, Cosmic Boy, Superboy.
I know what you're thinking is. You're thinking, oh, it might be good. Now we might be missing out, but it's Bendis.
I have to read it because I've been asking for it.
This is the equivalent of you getting a fork and sticking it into an electrical socket. You're thinking, well, maybe this time I won't get shocked.
He can't ruin everything.
Except
I don't hate Event Leviathan. I don't hate it. So, you know,
I just have no faith in the man.
I know, it's just with team books.
His Superman isn't exactly knocking people dead, and already he's going back to those old ways of, here's the continuity for these characters that everybody else is going with, and then Bendis is doing his own thing.
Yeah, it's annoying.
And he can't even say, oh, while I have numbers to back it up. It's like he really doesn't.
I can't say anything about this issue. Nothing happened. Absolutely nothing happened. Even in the end, nothing happened. For 2 issues.
I got
an overview of the future of DC, which I already know.
I should just isolate this conversation we had, and I could just play it again when we do the proper Legion review. Because it's going to be the same thing. Well, since we're talking about the Legion, let's bring up Lois Lane, number 4 of 12, writer Greg Rucka, art by Mike Perkins.
What is this? I'm sorry. I was upset.
It's okay. You were upset over a comic book. I want you to know that.
I've been let down by so much this week.
How can you be let down? You knew what it was.
Yeah, but it was like this and the wrestling.
You, again, AEW, you had seen AEW shows before. You know you don't like them.
Yeah, but I thought when
they
were on TV,
it would
be
better. You know you don't like them.
But it could have been good. I like Cody.
Just don't watch it. I've been telling you since day one, don't watch NXT. You're not going to like it, and you keep watching it. I keep telling you, I want to be able to enjoy this, so can you please stop watching it?
Maybe it'll get better.
You're going to keep watching, you're going to keep complaining.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
But I will keep watching NXT, even when Vince takes over. Because I like train wrecks.
I don't know if it's going to be a train wreck, though.
When Vince takes over, it will be.
He may have other axes to grind. He may have not that much time to actively ruin NXT.
That's good, but it's also a shame because I wanted to see what it'll look like. That's okay, though. What book are we doing?
Lois Lane. I said this. It's funny. We're talking Legion. Let's talk Lois Lane now.
So I like this, but again, this was largely a book about Vic Sage and Renee Montoya.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, they tease that Lois is going to reveal the secret history of the DC universe to Renee Montoya.
Mm-hmm.
That was because okay. So what happened was Vic Sage, the original Question, he died. In 52, which is a long time ago, but he died. And Renee Montoya remembers him dying, but she wasn't aware he was alive, and she doesn't understand how he can be alive. and he was going to try to explain it to her, but then he basically decided not to. So she goes to talk with Lois, and Lois is basically discussing how journalism works, and you know, you know these things, but you can only reveal certain things. And she's like, oh, well, you know things and you won't reveal them. That's wrong. And she's like, no, because people aren't ready to know certain things. She was talking about journalistic integrity and the release of information and stuff. And it actually wasn't badly written. I'm not saying it like this because I didn't find it interesting. I'm saying it like this because you have to read it to get the point. But I mean, it was not central to the plot itself. And, the cliffhanger at the end is, you know, well, I'm going to tell you. She basically tells her, like, she wants to know. Lois knew that Vic was alive, and she wants to know how he's alive. And she's like, well, fine, I'll tell you, but I'm going to tell you something only like two or three people in the entire world know, which is, you know, that Flashpoint and shit. Or actually Flashpoint, Dr. Manhattan.
But this also explains this book may be happening before the stuff that happens in Doomsday?
I don't get caught up on that because it doesn't matter. DC continuity is a fucking mess right now. I'm not even concerned about that. But she was going to tell Renee Montoya. But I don't understand how that fits in with the overarching plot of the government's doing something and Lois Lane is exposing them.
But the thing is,
I don't understand how this ties
in. How do you tell someone what happened without sounding like a complete lunatic?
Well, because she believed Lois, because Lois is with Superman. There was also, at the beginning of the book, this really fucking creepy part. Like, the book opens up with Superboy is taking a shower, and Lois thinks it's Clark. So she's getting ready to get in the shower with her son.
Yeah.
And then they like go out at 4 a.m. and get pizza together. The whole thing was icky. I don't know why
it was supposed to be icky.
Yeah, but why?
Because she thought he was Clark.
Oh, and he also apparently revealed he's joining a team, which I imagine is the Legion.
It is the Legion. He brought up in the book it was Legion.
Yeah, so he's going to go live in the 31st century, and they're okay with that.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be cool with that if I were his parents. I'd be like...
Yeah, I thought that was... And she's totally cool with it. But she's also totally cool with talking about how her and his dad fuck and, you know, hugging him when he's all naked. I fucking weird.
It's his mom, dude. Don't...
I never fucking... My mom never tried to fuck me.
No, but you know what I mean? Oh, you saw your kid naked.
It was weird. It was weird.
It's like, yeah, you saw him naked his entire life. Big deal.
Well, yeah, but she's like, I don't know. That whole fucking thing was weird. I didn't understand why we needed
it. It was supposed to be weird.
I know, but I don't, like, what did that add? Except to creep me out. Whatever. It's fine. They're actually doing more with continuity than most of the Superman books are, so that's all right.
Perfect. Well, since we're talking all things Superman, let's start our final DC book, Superman Up in the Sky 4-6, writer Tom King, art by Sandra Hope.
We found out the little girl is still alive, and she was telling the aliens who captured her the story of when Superman and Flash raced.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that story.
Yeah.
Because Superman won.
Which makes
no sense.
And
they basically, which makes absolutely no sense. And they basically explained Superman won because... Lex Luthor realized Superman was going to lose. So he bet $1 billion to charity if Superman won because he knew Superman was going to lose. But Superman, who always listens to Lex Luthor, no matter where he is, heard this. So he just had to win. Well, the fucking Flash can run at the speed of light. Superman is not that fast. He's never been that fast. He would have never beat Flash in a race. And even when Flash was beating him, it didn't make sense. And I've read this original comic, but even when he was coming, like, the race by itself made no fucking sense because Flash would have smoked him. That's, and the problem is it buries Flash Because if Flash has to try this hard to beat Superman, then that means he is a nothing. He can't do anything. Because Superman is faster than the Flash, and he has super strength, and he can fly, and he has fucking laser vision. What is the Flash then? He's nothing. He can't do shit. I hate that fucking story of that race. It's stupid. But the art was kind of good. And, I mean, the story itself was cute. And then Superman...
I need to get the second story.
He was split in half between Superman and Clark Kent.
Mm-hmm.
Because of whatever on this planet splits you into two halves. And Superman kept leaving. He gave Clark everything he would need to live, but he kept leaving. And he's like, oh, I can't, I gotta save this girl, but I can't save this girl. And then he come back and talk to Clark about it. Clark's like, oh, we have to save this girl. He's like, no, I can't do it. And then he'd leave again and he'd come back again because he couldn't decide. And then finally they left together. And presumably when they get off the planet together, he'll just, you know, form back into normal Superman.
Oh, I presume it's because it's Tom King and he's a good writer, but are we going to get an explanation why the aliens felt the need to take this random little girl?
I imagine he'll explain it, yes. And they're not killing her.
No, they're just keeping her. Yeah, for seemingly no reason. It may be just to draw out Superman, which, if that's the reason, fine, I'm fine with it.
If it was to draw out Superman, why didn't they tell Superman?
Or why didn't they take Lois? That would be the easiest one to do.
Or tell him, because they didn't tell anyone that they took the kid.
That's true.
So, like, I don't know. They'll probably explain it.
Yeah. I mean, we're still, what issue is this? 4 or 12? Or 4 or 6? Yeah, we still got a while to go. So, I won't get too upset just yet. All right. That's going to do it for the DC portion of the show. Let's move on to Marvel with Daredevil number 12. Writer Chip Zdarsky, art by Marco Cetto. I like this.
Yeah, this was good, but I'm going to go through it really quick because a lot of it was fighting, and then there was a Kingpin story that I actually thought was
more interesting. The Kingpin story I found way more interesting.
The Kingpin story is going to be a big deal, but let me get through the Daredevil part because it wasn't as interesting. So Daredevil hasn't been Daredevil for all of 2 issues, and so now he's really out of shape and out of practice. So he gets beat up by some cops again. And then he almost lets a guy die, but he saves him. And then the cops all stomp a mud hole in him. And he's almost going to die. But then Elektra shows up and saves the day and tells him she's going to teach him how he could be Daredevil again. She's going to retrain him. And then that part of the issue ended. The more interesting part was Kingpin goes to a party with a bunch of ridiculously wealthy people. The deep government, if you will. The people behind the scenes controlling everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they invite Wilson Fisk because he's, you know, very powerful mayor of New York and leader of industry. But they kind of invited him like as, you know, hey, let's laugh at the big fat crime lord and let's talk about how he kills people and stuff. And they just clearly look down on him. But one guy in particular was a giant asshole to him.
Well, I think the rest of them were, they kind of saw him as a novelty where the one guy's just ripping into him.
And yeah, he won't let up
to the point where Fisk has to go to the restroom because he just needs a moment to himself so he doesn't rip this guy like a phone book.
But the guy basically follows him and then he talks more shit to him when he comes out of the bathroom and Kingpin just fucking loses it and he basically pops the guy's fucking eyeballs out and strangles him to death. And then throws his body in the bathtub. And then he walks out of the bathroom and he's all covered in blood and he's kind of in shock. And then he walks in the bathroom and realizes, okay, there's fucking blood all over this. I can't hide this, which is going to be a problem because he can't kill all these people. And he's trying to turn over new leaf.
As it is, killing this one guy is going to be difficult because it's like he's trying to go legit. Like the whole point. A Kingpin arch in this run has been he wants to get into politics. He wants to move up. He wants more legitimate power. And his first get-go. His first get-go, he kills a dude.
Yeah, he can't. It was the issue was telling you Kingpin can't change. He is who he is. He's not going to change. That's what it was saying.
Yeah, but I get the feeling, I don't know. Do you think, so is this the dead end then? Is this the end of whatever storyline this was going to be? Because I feel like there's more to it. This has got to go somewhere.
No. It'll keep going. I mean, this is the issue that told you he cannot change. Mm-hmm. No matter how much he says he's going to, no matter how much they've shown, he's not going to change. He is who he is. That's what this issue was saying. Mm-hmm. But there's still going to be more to play out. So, but that was more interesting.
Very much so.
In fact, this entire run, while I do like this run, I find the stuff with Daredevil has gotten a little long in the tooth. Whereas the Kingpin stuff, I find interesting every issue.
There was an idea of a storyline. It didn't need to be this long, though.
It's been done so many times where it's like, oh, Daredevil, and something happens, so I can't be Daredevil anymore. Or I'm fucking... You know, it's the Spider-Man No More thing.
It's like, yeah, he's wrestling with the morality of him being Daredevil, and yeah, that is old hat.
Yeah, it's like it's been done, and it's not. And I don't say that as in he's been doing it bad. He hasn't. He's doing it very good. It's just I've read that before. No. I've never read, you know, Kingpin goes straight. I have read Lex Luthor goes straight. Which is similar,
mm-hmm.
But I mean, you know, the villains are more interesting than heroes.
I want to highlight my favorite part of this book, though. So the cops have the fake Daredevil tied up, and it looks like they're going to rough him up, if not kill him. And then who chooses to try to stop them but Foggy Nelson?
Yeah, Daredevil sent Foggy in.
That was plan A.
Yeah.
Foggy was basically saying, what are you guys doing? This guy may be in the wrong, but there are procedures to deal with him. I am his lawyer. There's a way that we can deal with this, and you guys are doing it the wrong way. He's like, okay, we could just both look away because I can get you guys in trouble for the stuff that you're doing.
Well, because he was on the phone, and he said he was on the phone with his friend who would call the cops.
Well, yeah, he basically wanted to use the phone as some kind of leverage. He's like, well, you cops are doing something dirty here. And if something happens to me and the other person on this line knows something happened to me, they're going to call for more police.
Who are probably also corrupt, since we've learned most of the cops
and
are
the
corrupt.
Plan the plan almost worked until one of the cops were like, can I see your phone? And then sure enough, the phone was just Foggy talking on his voicemail.
However, the other guy did escape and tried to help Daredevil. Well, because Daredevil was on the roof and they had to go after him at that point.
I still think Daredevil needs a mustache and a goatee. That was the one thing I liked about this copycat. He went all the way with the motif, and that's, I feel like, sorely missing with the Daredevil character. Fantastic Four 15, writer Dan Slott, art by Paco Medina. I love this book so much.
this is actually kind of funny, because in the first page, they introduce this new superhero team. And they actually tell you in the corner, yes, this is a Fantastic Four book.
He's like, don't worry, true believers, the Fantastic Four will make their... appearance before you know it, but just bear with us.
So there's this group of superheroes on this alien planet. The alien planet that the Fantastic Four were originally going to when they had their accident and got their powers.
Mm-hmm.
And this group of superheroes was apparently made to fight them. Because the guy, I don't remember his name, was the Overseer or something. Very Fallout. He controls the entire world here, and he told them that the foursome, or whatever they call them, we're gonna come someday. And they do. They come, and Reed doesn't turn his universal translator on first.
So I have to put over the way this is done. So throughout the entire duration of this book, the aliens are just talking to each other, but it's in English. So the Fantastic Four show up, but because they speak English, it's showing up as some kind of gibberish.
They talk in moon language.
Yeah. And I thought that was a very nice touch.
So they can't understand them, and since they opened up the ship, they assume they were a threat, and they start fighting, but they know who all of them are. Now, the interesting thing is there's another gimmick to this world where the Overseer looks through the fucking future glass or whatever, and he sees who you are going to be bonded to for life. So they all get these bracelet things. They all get these bands on, and like Johnny is marrying one of those heroes. He's his life mate is Sky, and I assume Sue and Reed have a different person to be with too. And they were also told after he fixed his universal translator, they could talk to them. Oh, you can't leave though. Like we welcome you to be a part of our world, but now you can't leave. And by the way, these are the people you have to spend the rest of your lives with. Except for Ben, who got booted into the Low City, where the monster people live. And they were all going to try to kill him, but Ben doesn't give a shit. He's like, oh, it's clobbering time.
My only thing is, if I make a nitpick, at no point do they establish that Ben turned down his universal translator. And if anything, they established these things are easily damaged, because when they first were fighting them, they did the gimmick of the Fantastic Four slowly started speaking English because the translators were
being damaged. Maybe like Reed has like the master translator, and when he turns it on, all of theirs turn on.
Okay.
Although why, knowing they're going to an alien planet, why he didn't just have it on, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Or maybe
for convenience,
he said. Maybe it had to be calibrated to the language?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stress on that. It was a fun issue, though.
Yeah, it's a fantastic issue. I absolutely love the slot run. It's so much fun.
Yeah, I enjoy what he's doing a lot.
He basically just makes it a really cute book. And, you know, considering all the stuff we read, sometimes you have the stuff that's needlessly melodramatic. It's nice to have a book that's just fun.
Yes.
Ghost Rider number one, writer Ed Bryson, art by Aaron Cooter. Yeah, Cooter.
I didn't dislike this.
Neither did I. I was just confused. So there was more than one Ghost Rider. Am I correct?
Okay. Yes, that was true. There was Johnny Blaze, Danny Ketch, and the Puerto Rican, the new one. The one who got his show on Hulu canceled before it premiered. Because Marvel is mean.
Well,
he's not in this book.
Well, because the thing is, I did not know this was a book coming out this week. So when I saw this, I thought maybe it was a misprint or that maybe it was going to be the new one again. They're trying to get him over again with a different writer, different creative team.
But nope.
I was so relieved when it was Johnny Blaze.
That was why I picked it.
Oh, okay.
Well, okay, so what's going on is Johnny Blaze, the original Ghost Rider, is apparently, well, he's not the original, but I mean the original Marvel one. He is apparently the king of hell now, but most of the demons do not like him. So they are fighting against him, and there are other powers who want to take over hell, but a bunch of demons escape, so he has to leave hell and go find them. And he does, but he runs into Danny Ketch, who, while he can turn into Ghost Rider, he doesn't like doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't actively be Ghost Rider because he doesn't want the spirit of vengeance to get his vengeance on. So his hope is he owns a bar. And he mostly just gets drunk all the time. But his hope is, if I just make it really boring, eventually he'll just pick somebody else and leave. But that hasn't happened. So Johnny shows up and he tries to get, like, they fight one monster together, one big demon. And then he tries to get him to come with him. And he's like, nah, I'm just going to go to the bar and drink. Because he's a bum. So he does. Apparently, also, because we had a brief moment with Mephisto talking to Wong, apparently Doctor Strange in his house has a doorway to hell. And apparently Mephisto will just walk up to that doorway and just talk shit.
Is
which
that,
I thought was interesting.
I was going to say, wouldn't you expect a character like Mephisto to do that?
I guess, but it just seemed kind of small of him. But
again, yeah, Mephisto.
He was talking about like, oh, this other thing that's coming. It's like way worse than me. You don't even know, brother. And then the issue ended. It was fun. I'll continue reading this because I like Ed Bryson. That's actually, I read it for two reasons. Number one, it was real Ghost Rider. Mm-hmm. It's actually both real Ghost Riders. And number two, Ed Bryson was writing it, who I like.
Yeah, our boy that we discovered recently from his Fantastic X run. And we stopped reading his, was it X-Force? Just because it seemed tedious.
Yeah. That wasn't, I don't really blame that on him.
No. Well, I kind of do.
Well, yeah, maybe.
He could have made better, stronger choices, but.
Maybe. But either way, this is a good start. So, and it was fun. So I'll continue reading this for now.
Savage Avengers number 6, writer Jerry Duggan, art by Mike Diodato Jr.
This is the worst issue of Savage Avengers because.
I thought it was fine.
It was weird. It was only Conan and Frank.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, we got a Doombot.
That, yeah.
So they were stuck up in the Savage Land because they all got split off. And they basically fought their way back to New York. They were trying to. They fought their way to one of the research stations in Antarctica where they could get on a boat. And they're going to come back. But on the boat was a Doombot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but there's a Doombot there. But we did have Conan made out of the wolves and bears and woolly mammoths and dinosaurs. Conan made him in Punisher outfits. And Punisher got to use swords in this. Conan did get to use Punisher's gun and declared, this is no weapon for a warrior.
Well, cause
and
no,
then he used it to bludgeon a dinosaur to death.
Well, no, because he used the gun and he thought it was fun at first, and then it ran out of bullets, and then he thought the gun sucked.
Well, he also thought there was no glory in it, because Conan is very much, you know, you got to get up in their face and fucking stab them. And with a gun, you can't do that. It's too easy for Conan. Which is why he took the gun and then he bludgeoned a dinosaur to death with it, which I did enjoy that. That was my favorite part of the book.
My favorite part of the book is Punisher and Conan are talking, and eventually Conan gets out of him that, you know, he's doing this for his family, and he, basically he's like, I hope you don't think less of me for doing that. He's like, I don't. He's like, but what about Crom? He's like, who cares what he thinks?
Yeah, fuck Crom.
I want an issue of Conan where Conan actively meets Crom and talks crap to his face.
Well, Crom might not exist. That's the thing.
But the thing is, it's one of those things where it's like, just do it. I mean, it could just be a fever dream, or you could find a way out of it. I just want an issue where he meets Crom and he just either beats him up or just talks smack to his face.
Technically, Crom would love Punisher.
Except
he never prays to Crom, and all he does is kill people.
Yeah, but at the same time, he thought, oh, the whole family thing.
He might not like that, but kind of was. Everybody's got something. Crom probably likes Conan, but Conan's walking around whining about his.
Let's be honest. Crom doesn't like anybody. Okay.
Well, probably not.
that's kind of his MO. Is he?
Did like someone, I would imagine it would be like someone like Punisher.
Mm, but he doesn't.
No, but he doesn't. The goddamn you, Crom.
I can't think of any instance of any religion where the believers actively hate their god. And one of their ways of worshiping him is by telling him how terrible he is.
Crom is awesome. Like, just a dick douchebag god who doesn't want people worshiping him. He doesn't like people. It's kind of amazing. Yeah, so the next issue is about what happened with Elektra. And we need to get the team back together. When I enjoyed this book, it was because the whole team was together, and I find the interactions amusing.
Well, it's basically, I like the book when it's everybody reacting to Conan.
largely that.
Because the rest of the team is like, I'm sure there's been some iteration of these characters teaming up before in the past.
All of them have, except Brother Voodoo, because nobody cares about him.
And it's like, okay, that's not much of a draw there. And it's like, I don't know how much I care about this book. If it's just going to be, you know, some issues, we won't get interactions with Conan when he's kind of the draw and he's kind of why the book exists.
And the problem with putting Conan and Punisher together is they're not different enough to, like, I mean, Conan's more about, you know, fucking bitches and getting money than Punisher, but still, overall, it's, you know, let's kill lots of things. So.
Well, most of the team is very much a one note. There's nobody really there with a ton of moral scruples. I guess you could say Brother Voodoo.
Well, Wolverine does have a code of honor.
Yeah.
A samurai code of honor.
Yeah, but I can see them getting along too still. Yeah, the thing is they have to do the storyline where it has to be someone who hates Conan and Conan hates them.
Which I think a lot of characters would hate Conan.
Yeah. Maybe Doctor Strange, because he's a sorcerer and I can see him looking down on Conan. Yeah.
Well, we already know he doesn't trust Doctor Strange.
But the thing is, he could like Brother Voodoo, though. Because Brother Voodoo...
No, because he does magic, too. He doesn't like magic.
Mm.
Conan hate magic. Wizard bad.
I just want him to meet someone also, like, who has a lot of technology. And because it's Conan, he doesn't understand, so he just thinks they're Conan. Magic.
Conan and Forge.
He meets Iron Man and just think he's
a, what the fuck? Your armor is clearly magic, and then he hits him. Hits him and hurts his hand.
Or Conan and Midgar. That would actually fit, though.
There's so much they can do with this book. We've talked about this. What's the next
book? Well, because it's, you know, so it's not mine, but sometimes it's our favorite book of the week.
It is, and I still did. I didn't hate it. Mm-hmm. It was my least favorite issue of the best book.
It's still a good book, though. It's still a fun
book. Yeah, it is. It always will be. Until it gets canceled.
Yeah, because this book is not long for this
They have to make room for the 5 million titles Marvel is launching.
Exactly. House of X, 6 of 6. Writer Jonathan Hickman, art by Pepe Lazar.
So I read this in Powers of X 5 back to back.
As did I.
And I think Powers of X was about,
there wasn't much to it. It was just,
it went back a little bit to discuss Xavier's plans for like the resurrection machine, and House of X was them showing the government of,
Krakoa
and how it works. So basically the government is, I should fucking save the issue so I could read this off. Xavier Magneto Apocalypse. I don't have the list in front of me. Sinister. Exodus.
There's 4 teams of 3, and they're named for all the seasons. And yes, every segment has 3 leaders.
Yeah. Nightcrawler. Jean Grey, Storm.
Who was the goof?
Sebastian Shaw, Emma Frost. Did they reveal who their third person was?
No, it's a secret. Because originally it was Emma wanted 2 secret members, but we found out one of them was Sebastian.
Yeah, so. Well, they were trying to make laws, and one of them, and Sinister just threw out, Mutants murdering mutants should be against the law. And Apocalypse disagreed with that because he said, if we can't actually die, you know, we still got to find out who the fittest is. So we can't have that be a law because, you know, rightly, if the mutants can be resurrected, then killing them really is meaningless.
Yeah.
It should not be against the law. So, they decided that no mutant can kill a human because humans can't come back to life. So that was the first law they ever passed. Mutants can't kill humans. And then Sebastian Shaw wanted to talk about like property rights and stuff. And they said, okay, well, basically, oh, and, Doug Ramsey and Krakoa also get a vote.
I was going to ask who was the goofball with the, shoulder pad setup?
That was Exodus, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but Doug Ramsey and Krakoa also get some form of a vote. They just kind of, Doug is just kind of hanging out with the giant Krakoa face, and like they'd occasionally
you call
chime
him Doug Ramsey,
shit.
And I'm like, who is he talking about? You're like, you could have called him Cypher, or you could have called him friend, Doug Friend.
But he's not Doug Friend anymore.
But you called, he's still Cypher.
Well, yeah, but he, for years when I read that character, is Warren Ellis writing him, and he wasn't Cypher.
Oh, okay.
So I'll attempt to call him Cypher. Yeah, and then, Nightcrawler, using his religious influence, said, well, we gotta have lots of mutant kids. Mm-hmm. That's not a law. It's just something they need to do. And then they were having a big party, and the only thing to note in that big party was Apocalypse was off by himself, mm-hmm. not having fun. I don't think Apocalypse is good. Now, their first order of law was they captured Sabretooth.
Mm-hmm.
And they all had to have a vote on what to do with Sabretooth. And they decided he was guilty because he killed humans, and that is their first law.
Well, and more specifically, but, you kind of was thinking, oh, well, it wasn't 100% spelled out. But they specifically brought up, Magneto told him to go on this mission and specifically not to kill anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it anyway. So
and he did listen. And they all decided, basically, you're a fucking wild animal. You're never going to be better. You keep fucking up. They can't kill him, because if they killed him, he would have to be brought back to life, which that I didn't really understand, because they don't have to bring somebody back to life.
Yeah, but isn't also his new power being able to bring himself back too?
I don't think so.
Hmm.
They could have found a way to kill him, but because they decided, well, we can't kill you, they also can't imprison him because Krakoa doesn't have any prisons. They said they were exiling him from Krakoa, but they couldn't send him out to the outside world. So they basically dropped him into Krakoa
mm-hmm.
forever, or until they give him a chance to redeem himself.
Yeah, they did acknowledge that at some point they'll give him a chance to prove that he's changed, but that won't be happening anytime soon.
Yeah, and the prison sounded terrible because it's basically you're aware of everything that's going on, but you can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. So he's just stuck, apparently not moving for as long as they decide, which I thought was kind of a shit thing to do.
Yeah, but it's Sabretooth. He's a pretty terrible.
We still don't know who Xavier is, but I'm pretty sure it's not Xavier. I'm still fairly, it's.
I feel like at some point we would have got it revealed.
Well, we can't yet. It's Hickman. He waits forever.
Mm.
Maybe at the end of this storyline and leading into the normal book, that it's actually Cassandra Nova.
Because we still have one more issue to go. This is the end of House of X. We still have one more issue of Powers of X.
Okay. And then we get the monthly.
Exactly.
Oh, by the way, we didn't mention Green Lantern's ending.
Aw, but it's...
Sort of.
It's by Morrison. We knew it wasn't going to last forever.
No, it's ending, but he's doing a Black Stars book, and then next year he's doing season 2 of Green Lantern.
Season 2.
Except he can't not write it, so they're doing a interim series, which is going to continue the story. It's going to be the same fucking story, it's just going to have a different title.
Okay.
Morrison is the first guy who came out with that season's bullshit.
It's terrible.
He thought we should do that, so...
I mean, to be fair, they kind of do it with their constant relaunches.
They kind of do, yeah. But DC doesn't do it, no. So.
He's trying to make it a thing.
Yeah, well, it's fine. I just thought I'd mention it since we were talking about this book getting a new title.
Yeah, it's, we're done with this week's books. Makes sense.
Okay.
All right. Like I mentioned earlier, this week's books are over. Let's move on to our final segment. Next week's books. The system. We'll be right back. I picked Adam Cole's music.
His current music?
Yeah, the Undisputed Era.
Oh, the Undisputed music?
Yeah.
Best part of the Undisputed music is when he stands on the apron and he has to wait until he can go boom. Because sometimes he gets to the ring faster than other times, mm-hmm. so he has to stand there with his head down for a really fucking long time. He's got it down pretty well, but
I had to actually look up because I wasn't sure what it was, because he may have gone through a couple of them because some of the songs didn't sound alike. So I actively had to look. Let's look at the last Takeover special where he came out live to the guy rapping. I was like, okay, I'll pick that version, but I won't pick the live version.
Okay. I'm looking. Black Hammer, Justice League, Hammer of Justice number 4.
Nice.
And then DC.
That's sort of DC, but it's Dark Horse.
No, I said then on to DC.
I know.
The Batman's Grave, number 1.
Oh, God.
It's written by Warren Ellis with art by Brian Hitch.
Ooh.
So, I want to read that.
Okay.
I don't know what it is, but I want to try it. I'll try the first issue.
Yeah, with that creative, we kind of have to read it.
Yeah. Event Leviathan 5 of 6.
Sure hope business picks up in that book.
Eh.
So I'm not saying it's not a good book. It's just, okay, we're on 5 and 6.
I honestly like it.
Yeah, so do I, but I'm just saying I kind of want the story to pick up a little bit.
Because of something else I'm reading, we're not going to read Flash because we missed an issue of it.
It's all your fault.
I know.
As soon as Flash gets interesting and I like it.
Well, we could keep reading it if you want.
Just remember we did that stuff with all the other forces. I was like, God, I hate this book.
Okay, well, we'll read Flash then. That's fine. Okay. I don't see that movie, but
also, it's not right.
I want to try Joker, Harley, Criminal Sanity.
Why?
Something different.
Who's it by?
I don't know.
If it's by nobody good, I may try to protest.
Now.
Oh, wait.
Okay, you're going to fight me. Joker, Year of the Villain.
Why?
It's being written by fucking John Carpenter.
That is
which
fun.
I assume he's at. I want to read it based on that.
That is weird. And why are they promoting this more?
I don't know. Well, I guess John Carpenter's not really a big name anymore.
It's just weird.
It is. That's why I want to read it, because that's fucking weird. And it's a one-off, so. Okay. Image. Be very careful. They're not doing something new. No, nothing. Okay, Marvel. There's a Doctor Doom number 1. Who's writing
Yay!
It? Christopher Cantwell.
Yeah, I know. I saw the creative and I was like, oh, I don't want to read this, but
if you're gonna don't want to read it.
Okay, perfect. And since you're making me read that Joker and Harley book.
It could be good.
With the Joker and Harley book? I can see Doom being better before the Joker and Harley book.
Well, if you want to read it, you can put it on the list. I don't know if I want to read Magnificent Miss Marvel. Actually, you know what? I have been liking it. So, yes. Magnificent Miss Marvel and Powers of X. The final issue.
Okay. Powers of X.
That's it.
All right. Let's see how many books that puts us at. Still doesn't look like that much, but let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 books.
I'm fine with that.
Well, of course you're fine with that. If we had it your way, we'd be reading like 80 books.
No, we don't, because I just
no,
picked
now,
all the
books. Now, for
well,
years.
Yeah,
but that's after years of me and Dave just browbeating you. It's like, can you just keep it to an 8? Or 12.
It's because I've often said I don't much see the point of a review show where you review a comic every single month. And I thought My problem was I wanted to read all the new books in case it was good that I could tell people about it, because people want to hear more about the new books that they haven't read. And then I realized we're really just doing this show for my own enjoyment. So I want to read the books I like. And I don't want to try.
But you also forget you're dragging along me, and then some of your books I question.
Yeah, well.
Like Joker and Harley.
Well, we don't know yet. We haven't read it.
Okay. I want you to read the book before I do, and if it's a waste of time.
But we don't always like the same stuff. So that's no – we have very different tastes often in comics. So
sometimes. Like sometimes there's stuff we both like a lot.
There is, but there's also stuff I like that you don't, or you like that I don't. So just because I like it doesn't mean you'll like it.
That's true. You're not exactly you're not 100% on board with the X-Men right now.
Not 100%. I see weaknesses, but I also don't hate it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right. I think that's going to do it then for this week's show. All right. So
okay.
From all of us at halfguard.com, thanks for checking out this week's show. And as always, check you guys out next time. Adios.